for us to do that.
Let's be honest. It was me.
It was me.
It took longer for him to convince me than it did for him. So let's just say that.
But, you know, it comes down to what do we do with our lives when we come to the realization that God wants us for some purpose other than what we're currently in.
Yes, what, do you Dave? Have a question? We haven't
this is not Q&A time.
For the sake of the person who didn't start the recording in time, you said this all actually started for you in what year?
It started 2002 was when it first started for us.
Thank you.
And it wasn't that we were fighting God. I think we were just trying to, God was giving us grace and mercy, letting us figure it out kind of on our own. I think he loves the fact that we all have choice. And he uses both our good and bad choices for his purpose. But yeah, I mean, we took us about 7 years to really come to realize, okay.
And accept.
Okay, Lord. Okay. Yeah. But that's kind of what happens when we have change, when God asks us to change. In some ways, we're kind of possibly at that again. We don't know what the future holds for us with Bella and with her situation, among other things. We may have to change again in some form. We don't know. But, you know, as long as we're living, we want to be there willing to do what God would want us to do the most. So we kind of have to continue to be reminded of that and learn from that. Because, I mean, let's be honest. I don't think any of you have control over your heart beating, unless I'm mistaken. Nobody's controlling their heart beating on their own, are they? No one? Okay. I always have to make sure, because there could be someone, I guess.
No.
You know, or even breathing. None of you are constantly telling your body to breathe each breath, push it out, breathe again, push it out. You know, someone else is in charge of that. God is in charge of that. So as long as he's in charge of that and giving you that gift of life, he still wants to use you in some way. And we are no better than you guys just because we've gone to Italy or somewhere else. We are no better in that grand scheme for God than you guys are. You're all still alive for a purpose, so just remember that. But I'll let JC talk now about the girls, maybe.
Well, I wanted to just something fun because I thought it would be funny. Okay, so I thought you would like some funny cultural differences. Okay, just because it's fun to always, I always think, learn about other cultures.
Has anybody been to Italy?
Anybody? Nobody?
Has anybody been to another country? Okay, yep, got some.
Okay.
So you probably
so you can appreciate some cultural differences. Yeah. Okay. So, what do you think goes on top of a pizza Americana? Like what
an American
they call
pizza.
American pizza. What do you think they put on top of it?
Cheese.
Well, cheese. That's cheese. Easy.
Okay.
What else?
Olives.
Ketchup. No. Good guess though.
He said olives.
Olives. No. No.
Oh, sausage.
No.
It's bacon.
No.
No.
It's
but
really
you're kind
weird.
Of going in there. Think very American.
No,
no. Are you talking real American pizza?
This
yes.
is in Italy what they call
American
pizza.
Think,
what do they put
think
on?
Think maybe baseball games.
Hot dogs.
And hot dogs.
Mustard.
No.
Apple pie.
No, but
yeah, that's a good one.
Hot dogs and what do you eat with a hot dog sometimes?
Relish.
Side dish.
French fries.
Yes, French fries. Hot dogs and French fries.
That's
I kid
American
you not.
Pizza.
It is gross and weird, but every child in that country loves that pizza.
It's
so weird.
It's not good when our kids order the American pizza.
Because we are just
hot dogs and French fries, and we're like, no,
making the stereotype true.
That does not exist in the U.S.
Hot dogs and French fries. Isn't that weird?
Do they believe you when you tell them?
No, no. Because our kids are just like,
because our kids eat it.
Pizza Americana. They want that one. We're like,
ugh. Hot dogs and French fries. Think about that for a second. It's kind of gross. I know.
Weird.
Okay, so what about eggs? I did not find eggs for months because they are not in the refrigerator. They are on a shelf. And I just thought maybe they don't eat eggs. I don't know. I just thought they don't eat eggs there because I couldn't find them for months. And I couldn't speak. We didn't know language at first. And so I didn't know how to ask.
JC comes home and says,
like,
how do
they
not have eggs?
So one day I looked it up and I translated how to ask at the store, where were the eggs? And the lady just laughs at me and she's like, what do you mean, where are the eggs? And she said, they're on the shelf. I said, well, they're not in the refrigerator, you know?
And she laughs. She's like, are the chickens in the refrigerator? Why would the eggs be in the refrigerator? Like, you know, just a dumb, like I was stupid or something. And so I go and I find them on the shelf and I open them up and they're brown. There's no white eggs, you know, which is fine. They're covered with poop and feathers and, you know, just, and they're just, and they're really fresh. Yeah. And right next to the eggs on the shelf is your milk on the shelf. It's not in the refrigerator. It's on the shelf.
It doesn't have the other stuff on it, does it?
No, there's no poop and feathers in the milk. No. But the milk comes in a little cardboard box, you know, like this, and it's just on the shelf. And I, so.
They do have fresh milk in the refrigerated section.
You can find it, but it's very, and it's very expensive. Most people get the box. You just buy. It's pasteurized at a really high temperature, so it's shelf stable, and it's just in, and you can keep it for like years, I think. I don't know.
At least months.
Oh, yeah. So that was weird, you know, buying boxes. After you open it, you refrigerate it.
We would always put it in the refrigerator and then open it so it was cold because it made it a little more drinkable.
But. Yeah. It did have a different, a little bit different taste. And we found the colder you got it, the less weird the taste was. Yes. I don't know.
Yes.
And then, okay, one more thing. Shopping carts. You know how you had all the, you put the quarter in the shopping cart. Okay. You do that too, except for the shopping carts have no fixed wheels. So like here, they turn and you can turn. There, they literally just go wherever they go.
All four wheels are swivel.
All of them swivel. So people are walking down the aisles just all over. It's hilarious to watch.
If you try to turn around a corner, you're actually like swinging.
You have to go way
down.
It's bizarre. And so I think like the first time I saw it in a grocery store and I just saw people go all over the aisles just like, and you stand and watch and you're like, what are they doing? Like, what? I don't understand. And it's funny to see from an outsider perspective, but however much weight you have in your cart, the cart just drives you.
Yeah.
So that was hard to get. I still don't. I'm not used to that. That's still hard.
Those are pull carts.
I don't even know what the word.
Don't push us. Pull them.
They pull you, basically.
They pull
yes.
you, yeah.
Okay. Anything else funny?
I was going to say the bills you pay at the post office.
You pay at the post office.
Because the post office is your bank too. So.
Uh-huh. And you are not allowed. We were talking this morning with Joyce about this. The government tells you when you are allowed to turn on your heat in the winter, how long you can run it. So you're each city, the government tells each city when they are allowed to turn the heating on for that city. And so even if you're cold before then, you're out of luck until they tell you you can turn your heat on. And then once it's on, you only get so many hours a day of heating. And so if you're cold, put on a blanket. You're out of luck.
No central heating, no central cooling.
No. Uh-uh.
It doesn't exist.
So cultural differences.
No carpet.
There. Yeah, no. So there you go. There's a little. I always think that's fun to learn about other places.
The differences, yeah.
So, okay, we were told last night that you guys have been praying for our daughter Bella, which is such a great blessing. Thank you for that. She is 12, and you know when you're 12, you know, everything is, you know, you're 12, you know how everyone is. Well, she just hates physical therapy. I mean, she hates it. So I was telling Joyce that I think our biggest prayer for her would be for you guys to really just pray for her heart, for her to understand that this is for her benefit. This is not for us. It's not fun for us to, you know, have to push her to do this therapy. We don't enjoy it either. It's not fun. She has about an hour a day of therapy that she has to go through. And so, you know, she's 12. She doesn't see long term. She doesn't understand that this is, you know, to make your, so that you don't have to have a metal rod shoved in your spine. This is for you to, you know, but when you're 12, you know how it is. So I would say really just pray for her heart, for her to just understand that this is for her benefit, I think would be one of the biggest prayers so that it's not a battle constantly.
Well, I don't know if you guys know what she has or some of the story, but, we ended up finding out once we got back to the States, which we came a little earlier than what we were planning on doing, which was, it worked out really well.
Well, do you mean to, in July, we had a conference, we were with colleagues, we had a conference and it was, we were on the beach and she had a swimsuit on and her back was exposed because she has hair down to here. So you never see her back. I mean, it's just, so her back was in her swimsuit and she was bent over on the beach doing a sandcastle. And my coworker came up to me and said,
"Who was a past
she's
nurse.
She's a nurse. And she said, JC, I don't want to upset you, but look at her back. She said, that's not right. That's not normal. Something's wrong with her back. And I said, I hadn't looked at you. I wasn't paying attention. And I said, well, what do we do? What do we do? You know, and she said, actually, right close to where you live, there is a world famous orthopedic hospital. It's like right outside it's right by your city. And she said, we'll get her in. We'll get an appointment. We'll see, you know. So we, the next week, got right in and we met with an orthopedic surgeon who thought she had scoliosis. Said, you know, but she's got a really, really severe case. And so the doctor told us, she said, when do you go back to America? And I just laughed. I said, how do you know I'm going back to America? She said, you're American. You all go back at some point. You know, I know you're going. And I said, well, we're supposed to go in November, you know, for home assignment. And she said, honey, you need to go now. And I said, well, I'm going in November. I just said that, you know. And she said, you have a very small window of time that this can possibly be corrected because of how tall she already is and how big the curve already is. And she said, you're at the very end of that window of time that you could do anything with this at all.
She knew without doing x-rays.
She didn't even have to. She didn't even do a full workup.
She knew, yeah. Obviously, that's what she does for a living, but she knew right away it was a very severe case. So
she said, you need to go. And I said, our other colleagues were gone. We were in charge of the ministry area, a baby little church plant. You know, you can't just leave. We're like, we can't just leave it. What do we do? And she said, well, I'll tell you what. This is one of those areas that we are just really, really behind in as far as, you know, us versus the U.S. A lot of areas we are equal with you guys, but this is one area I can't treat her here. Like, there's nothing I can do for her. And I said, well, are you sure we can't wait till November? You know, everything's already set. You know, everything's done. And she actually reached across the table and she held my hand. And she said, honey, you need to go now. And so I said, okay. So I told Joyce this too. I said, we had prayed for a clear answer because I didn't want us to look back and wish we had known sooner or have guilt that we didn't do something sooner. So we really prayed before that meeting we would have a clear answer. And I said, after that, well, it doesn't get much clearer than that. I mean, you know, what do you do? So we got out as soon as we could. She has an orthopedic surgeon in Indianapolis. She does not have scoliosis like they thought. She has, it's called kyphosis, which you're nodding, so you know what that is. She has 6 vertebrae in her back. You know, vertebrae are like this. Hers did not, she has 6 of them that are like triangles.
That are wedged, yeah.
And so when you put them together, you know, they make a curve instead of stacking straight up. So anyway, that is the situation. She is in physical therapy every day. We are supposed to go back in March to see if the therapy has done anything, well, if it's helped at all.
What the doctor said was the normal high end for a back that's normal is about a 40-degree curve, that's 35 like, to 40-degree curve. Bella's at an 80-degree curve. And they said that
in that area, not like her whole back, but like in that.
Yeah,
section.
And it's not, you know, it's not like a this she's kind of curve like this. No. It's how they make it. It's I don't know. He showed us on the X-ray, but it is an extreme. He said 15, 20 years ago, they would have automatically anything over 70-degree curvature, they would do surgery. They would put the spines in. He said, but it's a very invasive. The rods. No. He said this is a very bad one. He says it's permanent. He says your back will always be straight. She'll never be able to bend. He says, I'd like to do that as a last step. She's young. She's not in pain. He did some nerve tests, some stretching tests. And he said, I think with some physical therapy, we have a good chance of it improving some from 80 degrees. And he said, you know, based upon no pain and things and her youth and she's still growing a little, he's like, I think we need to try that first and see what we can do. We could go back in March and may not be enough of a increase or may have done well. And he says, okay, let's do some more physical therapy and see how it goes. But the reality is she could still have to do a very, very obstructive
intrusive brace
and or also the surgery at some point. So,
well, it puts us in a weird spot too, because you think, Lord, how do I take my child back to a place that can't treat her? How would you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, I trust that you'll take care of that. But at the same time, wisdom as a parent, you say, if your child needs treatment, how do I take her to a place that can't treat her? You know, where's the line of trusting and faith and common sense and using, you know, the smarts that the Lord has given you, you know? So we literally have no clue you know, what the future holds. And so it's the first time in our lives we are literally just in a state of limbo. I mean, it's a weird place to be. You can't plan for what's coming. We have no idea what's coming. So it's an odd thing, but...
Dave, we have to 11:30. Is that right? 11:30.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're like when you hear these countries where they just go and then they just stay for hours.
Just as long as it takes.
That's how we are.
All right. Until everyone is asleep.
So you're telling me 1:30 is what you're saying.
No one's in the window to fall out and get hurt.
You can never give him that much time. He will literally.
What time do we need to?
He said 10:15.
10:15.
Okay.
Yeah. And we don't like. Even though I told a joke about a gun yesterday, we don't shoot you at 10:15.
Is there a hook?
But I saw Randy wearing a holster, I think. So.
Did? Oh, I didn't see that.
No,
I won't shoot you. Randy, I don't know about.
Okay.
10:15, thereabouts. Don't get too worried about it.
Okay. To tell you, I guess, what our main life has looked like the last 3.5 years of being in Italy. Our first 2 years, we really spent... at language school, learning the Italian language, which I don't recommend for anybody over the age of about 15, maybe.
So hard.
Learning a new language is, it's a tough one.
It's humbling,
humbling.
It's really humbling.
Yes.
Is JC going to resist the urge to
what?
Brag?
To brag?
I'm not bragging. What am I bragging about?
About her speaking?
Or about her, how much better.
Oh, I don't ever brag.
No, she didn't brag. She didn't have to.
Well, that would be, not be.
Some people said Andy.
No, because I still feel like I'm an idiot. Like, you still feel like you're, it doesn't matter how good you are, you still feel stupid. I mean, it's
some
just,
people have said, Andy, you've lost weight since you went over. And I said, yeah, that was my pride, I think.
I've shed it.
My pride has shed off a little bit. The language has been tough for me as a husband and as a father. Not being able to be there in the way that I need to be there or feel I need to be there for JC and for the girls. So in many ways, it was humbling in that sense. And God has used actually my weakness in many good ways of not being able to speak, of having to have a tutor and God using that in the tutor's life and stuff. But
we were saying this last night, we literally had to go to class and we went to, it was called the University for Foreigners.
For strangers.
And so we're in class 7 hours a day on just straight Italian. Look, there was never English. Yeah. And so from day one, when we knew nothing, you're sitting in a class and someone's barking at you for 7 hours in a language that you don't understand. And we would come home and the level of exhaustion after just sitting and listening to that for, and we would laugh. We said, we didn't do anything today. We sat for 7 hours, but we were just a tired that we had never felt before of just constant, you know, and.
But we did alternate though.
Yeah.
She would go for a semester.
I would go for 3 months.
He
would go for 3 months.
I would go for three. So that was about the only way we could survive, I think. One of us would.
This is not question time.
And the girls really struggled too, right?
The girls, for the first 6 months was.
We were told that the children literally resist learning language, which I always thought was funny. But they went to a public school. We put them in public school. I don't know that that was the smartest decision in hindsight.
But that's what we did. 3 weeks of being there, I think we put them into public school.
And they. Literally just didn't want it. Like, they just did not. And I think they were literally thinking to themselves, you have taken everything else away from me and taken everything I know. I am not learning this stupid language. That's what I felt like they were kind of thinking.
Yeah.
And so they just resisted. And our oldest, Bella, she, about 3 months, she kind of gave in. But our middle child, Gwenny, who is the stubborn one anyway, just was like, no, I'm not doing it. I don't want this dumb language. I don't want it. I don't need it. And so for about 6 months, she just wouldn't even try. And then I think she got so desperate for friendship.
She's a really big people person.
She just needed people. And then once she gave in, it was just, it was a whoosh.
Yeah.
And we were at home and they would just speak and we're sitting in class all day and we can't say anything and they're just,
I can tell you, it's a humbling experience for you men to go somewhere and not be able to really function. But basically have to depend upon your little child.
She was like 8 at that time.
To interpret and to, you know, tell them, da 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 da, and then they tell them back.
Uh-huh.
So you want to be humble. That is a humbling experience.
Or they would correct us in front of other people.
Yeah.
Mom, it's not like that.
Yeah, we would try to, you know, we finally start getting a little bit of it, and we would try to speak, and they'd be like, no, it's not the, it's this, you know. And so we had to have a talk pretty quick.
Can
to
you
say,
correct us in private when we get home?
Even if we're wrong, please don't
wait
do
till
that
we get home,
us.
Please. It's embarrassing.
Right.
So. So we did that for 2 years, and we were, you know, people told us we shouldn't do a lot of ministry or try when you're in language school because it's so encompassing, that you can't be also doing everything else. And, you know, we kind of laughed because the Lord just kept dropping people in our laps. We were in school with all these students. And it was literally international students from all over the world that were 20-somethings. They were by themselves. They were in a country that they didn't know anybody. They were in a language they didn't know. But they would see us, and we were this family unit. And so we kind of symbolized, I think, stability to them. I don't know. And so they just followed us. Like, I kid you not. I would walk home from school, and I would turn around on the sidewalk, and there would be a group of them following me. And I would say, what are you doing? Can we come to your house for dinner tonight? Can we come over? Every night. I mean, it literally got to the point, every single night, there were people at our door. And we had to start saying, Mondays and Fridays, you cannot come over. Like, you have to give us our space.
Yeah.
But it was, the Lord just kept dropping these people in our laps. And there's something about being dependent on each other. And there's a vulnerability in that relationship that we didn't have anybody else. They didn't have anybody else. And you just kind of depend on each other. And those bonds that form are just stronger than 20-year-old friendships, you know, in some ways. And so,
I mean, we had each other.
Yeah.
Jace and I had each other and our girls. So we kind of had each other. But then these, you know, young students from all over the world, they're away from their cultures, their families, their language, their lives. Yeah. And they're at a stage where they're very open. So we had the opportunities to do some amazing conversations with them. And many of them are still very close to us. Probably will visit us while we're here in the States, whatever ends up happening. But we're here through next July, and I think multiple of them will try to come visit us while we're here.
Andy laughs, you know, because I get constant texts from some of these young girls. Andy says I have a counseling service on my text because, you know, you pour in. And so even now, it's what, 2 years later, there's a constant, you know, should I date this boy? I like it. You know, just a constant. So he calls it my counseling service on my phone, you know. But the Lord put people, even when you're not supposed to be doing ministry, you know, which I think that was good because that gave us a sense of purpose. No matter how bad we were in the language, we could still function with these people because our common language was English, everybody. You know, so we could still be functional, which was great.
And we never once thought about the idea of, no, we need to turn these people away because we need to focus on Italian. You know, we went to Italy to serve Christ, and in some ways we went in error thinking we're going to serve the Italians, and we quickly realized we're going to Italy, but we're really serving Christ and whoever he brings across our, you know, across our doorstep or in front of us, or
which often
following
was not
us.
It was not Italians often, like it was just whoever. So
now, I mean, obviously that could have possibly affected our language learning, but at the same time, you know, we'll give up some of our language learning, and I'll be more insufficient in language if it means that I'm not turning away somebody that, you know, wants to be part of our lives in whatever manner. So in some ways, we learned a lot in that sense of, you know, I think maybe from our American mindset, we went going over there thinking it's just Italians there. But, you know, getting there and seeing just in general the diversity mm-hmm. that's there, we realized, hey, we're not here just for the Italians. We're here for whoever comes across our lives, and it included people back in the States too. It wasn't.
It was
just
funny the day of the
face and
the day of the all the Benghazi stuff, all of that, you know, or in the Libya conflict. I get a call from my dad, a panicked call from my dad, saying, "You guys got to get out of there," you know. And literally, that he called, and we had two Libyans at our table having lunch with us. I kid you not. And I said, "Yeah, we can't really talk about this right now. We've got some Libyan friends here having lunch with us," and he's like, "Are you kidding me? They're going to get you." And I was like, "Dad, we've got friends from Iraq, from Syria, from Turkey, from Lebanon." I mean, that was just what, you know, and he just about could not take it that we were in danger and all this stuff. And, you know, those are some of the closest friends that we made there. And
One thing that a lot of our friends, missionaries, would do is when people would stay with them, they'd have a guest book kind of that they would write in. It's a great idea. But Jace and I had a couple experiences where they would come up and say, "Here, You ate dinner with us, or you stayed with us. Here, sign this and write it." And we're looking, and there's people that have written messages. So then JC's sitting here.
And she's watching me. They're like watching me write in the guest book. And I'm
thinking, oh, this is really awkward. I'm writing something to you. You're right here next to me. But we liked the idea because it was a way to keep
track of
who's been in their lives and stuff. So JC said, "Why don't we instead just take a picture you know, of who's been with our house. So we have a photo.
Well, you would remember faces long after you would just see a name, right? Like
that we have an album full of people that would come over the first time. We would try to remember maybe half the time or greater. We would forget to do it. So sometimes we'd remember when the people would come over again. Sometimes we'd never remember. But we have a picture of that group that was there, and just seeing the diversity and thinking back of how funny that is. You know, but again, it was just, we were there serving the Lord, no different than you guys are here serving the Lord. We just had, for whatever reason, some interesting diversity in different ways, but.
So we were there, we did language school for 2 years, and then with our organization, you do then, after language school, an internship type of thing to get an idea of, you know, where best you would want to serve. So we... Team is a church planting organization, you know, in all over the world. And so there were several cities that we could kind of decide to go and live in and visit. And so we chose a city that was, it has about 60,000 people. So it's a decent sized city. It was big enough, not huge. It was outside of a major city. So we had a big city nearby. And we had coworkers that were our age that had, you know, 4 kids. So we thought for our kids to have other people, you know. And so for the last year and a half, we had been there interning, I guess, in a brand new kind of church plant.
Well, and pause for a second. Church plant. I know that this is a church plant, a group of believers that have come together in this sense. The church plant of what we know in Italy is unfortunately not that like that.
No.
You're starting from the ground up, and you are going individual by individual that have no basis.
Well, you can't draw believers from anywhere because they don't exist.
They
so
don't
like
exist.
There is no
90% of Italians of the Italian culture claim to be Catholic, but there's like 5% that end up going to Mass.
Yeah.
Once or twice a year, for Easter and for Christmas. And they just the common thing that as we would get to know people and build relationships, and they would start to open up and ask us why we're here, and we'd get to explain, and we'd get to develop some studying even. The most common phrase we always heard was, I've never read the Bible. I've never gone through the scriptures like this. And these are people that are adults, grown adults that have kids, that have grandkids. It didn't matter. It was just people said, I never have read the scriptures like this. And, you know, there's power in the scriptures that can't be comprehended by any of us except for reading. If you've read the scriptures, you know the impact it has on your life because it's the word of God. And it's sharper than a two-edged sword and will cut into you so deep that you cannot comprehend. So the reality is we always had that hope for these relationships to get eventually to where we're reading the scriptures, because time and time again we would see transformations. And we would always hear. After they start doing it, it would just almost always, it was like a recording, the exclamation
same
we'd
phrase,
hear over and over
always.
Again. I've never read the scriptures. I've never experienced
We've had,
this.
You know, one lady was like, we have 10 Bibles in my house and I've never read one. No. Like we just have them, but I've
you
never
know,
even...
I've grown up in the Catholic Church. I've never done that. And I only say that because 90% there, almost every one of them claim that as their religion. Mm-hmm. Not really as
so,
their
but
faith.
You're, so but. You're starting a church plant literally from nothing, in the sense that, you know, there aren't even roots in these people. Like, there wasn't even a basic level of understanding. I mean, just from nothing. And so I feel like here in the U.S., even if people aren't active in church, they know of church. They've been in church at one point in their life.
Right.
They understand more. They have a general working knowledge. Whereas you are literally plowing soil that has never even been touched. I mean, they just have no concept of anything. And so... the amount of work and the amount of just, it felt like tedious over and over just to get any, because there's nothing that has ever even tried to plant there. And
even,
so,
even our, some of the international friends that we've made from Sweden, from Norway, up in the Scandinavian area, a lot of those people are under the Lutheran Church, which
the national
is
the, church,
which is
so, yeah.
the mm-hmm. state church. And one of them even said that they never read the scripture, they don't believe there's a hell.
They were taught there is no hell. That was a misprint.
One of
the
girls from Sweden said, it's too late for me. And we said, what do you mean? You know, explain to us. Why do you think it's too late for you? And she said, because I did not choose at the age of 15,
the 14, 16, at the confirmation. 14,
the confirmation mm-hmm. in the Lutheran church, I did not choose to get baptized. So she, in turn, thinks it's too late
well,
for her.
Well, they're told
that
you missed your chance. That's it. You're done.
You know, so the opportunities mm-hmm. that we've had to just try, you know, yes. allow God to use us, but not force. We know it's God's work that has to be done, but mm-hmm. he's got us there to be impactful in those lives. But
well, and then at our church plant, when we first got there, it was literally the co-worker's family and then another couple. And then, you know, there were
one or two individuals,
a couple people that were kind of, you know, here and there, kind of, you know, coming and going. And you've got an owner of a pizzeria, like a pizza owner. He owns like a shop. He comes now, and then now his coworker that the pizzeria comes to the Bible study. She doesn't want to come on Sunday church yet because that's her only day off, but she's at the English Bible study every week. And then you see it trickle, and now some of their waiters and waitresses and the pizzeria are now coming, and it trickles, and you get to see it kind of slowly, but it spreads at a slower rate. I mean, it is a slower thing. And so for us Americans, you want results, and you want to hit them with the gospel, and it's a totally different environment.
Well, and we realize too, there it's not a situation where you can hand out tracts. I'm not against tracts. Don't get me wrong, but in that culture, you have to always think about where you are and what the culture is. To hand out tracts there means that they instantly see it. You're not part of the established church. You're a cult. So we, as evangelical Christians, get thrown into Mormonism, Seventh-day Adventists,
Jehovah's Witness.
Everything gets thrown into the same genre because you're not the full. So the thing that really works is relationships. They get to know you and they say, wow, you're an American. They get to know you more, and then they start to hear about somewhat why we're there. They realize we're not crazy people, and they realize that we read the Bible, and they say, but you're not part of the established church, and you're not crazy, but you read the Bible.
Where do I put you? Like,
yeah, so, you know, they really start to see, because we're not forcing them to say, hey, you need to do this. Hey, you need to do this. It's not a program that we're trying to force on them. We're allowing them to get to know us, which is allowing God to work on his own through us in their lives. And it's definitely, we've seen the benefits of that. It's great.
I want to say you should talk about Andy had, you know, Andy's, this is the last story we'll give and then we'll cut it off. Cause Dave's, I don't want him to get angry with us. He has a cane, you know,
his arm is starting to twitch.
I know, he scares me. Andy, you know, Andy's language has always been a struggle for him. And, you know, after language school, they advised us to continue to study, obviously, because we're still learning. I mean, there's a lot of things you don't learn in school, to keep studying. So he wanted to get a tutor. We had looked into getting a tutor for him. And so our colleague, he had mentioned to our colleague one day, he said, hey, do you know of anyone I can use for a tutor? And he said, you know, I have a friend. His dad is a retired teacher. Let me ask him to see if he would know anybody, just to see, you know. And so he said, hey, you know, he ended up connecting Andy with this friend's dad who was a retired school teacher. It's your story. You want to tell it?
No, I'm just
Oh,
good.
You want me to tell it?
Yeah,
okay.
It's good.
Okay. So Andy and our colleague Josh were going to go out one day to visit. His name is Romano. They were going to go out one day to visit Romano and just to have like a first meeting. And so Andy and Josh go out to Romano's house. He lives out in the country. He has a farm. He has a vineyard. I kid you not. It's so Italian, it's fabulous. He has, you know, animals and chickens and rabbits and a vineyard and, oh, it's great. So they went out to meet Romano for the first time to just talk about lessons. How would we have a lesson? What would it look like? And there's a tense of word in Italian that is...
Among many tenses.
There are so many tenses. There are, you know, there are, for one verb, there are 72 ways you can say one verb. 72, and that's just one.
That's not fair.
72 ways you can say eat. I kid you not. So think about all the verbs in life you have to memorize.
I mean, I get that one.
And you have to learn 72 ways for each one of them. It's ridiculous.
Any verb.
Anyway, so Romano says, what would you like to do to study together? This is what he said. But the ending of what would you like sounds like what do you do instead of what would you like to do. It sounds like what do you do. So Romano says, what would you like to do together to study? Andy thought, Romano said, what do you do to study yourself? Andy's thinking, okay, myself. Well, I, at home, I like to read the scripture in Italian while I'm listening to it audio.
Spoken in Italian.
So that I can see it and hear it. So he's thinking, this is how I study, you know. So Romano says, okay, you know,
sounds
that's,
good.
That's fine,
that's
okay.
Good. Oh my God.
So they leave and they get in the car and Josh is like, that went great, you know. And Andy said, I think it went okay.
And
Josh says, no. He agreed to read the scripture with you for your lesson. And Andy said, No, that's not what he said.
He said,
yes, he asked you, what do you want to do together for our lesson? You said, read the scripture. And he said, sure. And Josh is like, you got him to just sit down and read the text with you. And Andy said, that's not what I answered, though. I was not trying to do that.
This is news to me.
So literally, for their lesson every week, they would go, and Andy would take his Italian Bible. And he was, at this point, too, giving sermons in Italian. He would take his sermon. They would go over his notes. Literally give his sermon to Romano every
one-on-one
week.
One-on-one sermon.
And sometimes he would
that
give it several times.
That may be intimidating to have a one-on-one sermon with Pastor Dave.
You know, literally. And they would just read the text and give his sermon every week. That was their lesson. And so, believe it or not, after about a month, every time Andy spoke, Romano started coming to hear him so that they could talk about it later the first few times.
But it's,
you know?
Yeah, it turned into, too, when we'd do the sermon, we'd go through and read more. We would go through the scriptures. It was amazing over, I don't know, the year that we did that before we came back, it came to where he was coming not only when I spoke, but also when somebody else would speak, just because I think he enjoyed. And we began to see transformation in his life. I asked him at one point if he was willing to put his complete life in the work of Christ on the cross, in his place. And he said, I just can't yet.
I'm not there yet.
His wife died 25 years ago when his son was 12 years old, and he's been very bitter with God. But I have seen from when I started with him, and again, this is not because of me. It's because of, I guess, my weakness and needing to go to him to be tutored, that God began to work back again in his life through the scriptures, not through me. And so Romano, we have seen an incredible transformation of he used to be so closed, very unhappy, to where, two weeks ago, one of our colleagues sent a picture, Facebook, you know, it's the new thing, it's the thing to do now, sent a picture to me of our colleague and Romano. And Romano's just smiling.
Ear to ear.
They're all dressed
grin,
up. They had gone to church and stuff. And, you know, for me to see that the one thing I prayed with my difficulties in the language and the pride and the humbling that I had with being a husband that couldn't be there in the way I needed to be and a father that needed to be, I said, Lord, just allow me a gift of seeing this weakness being used somehow. Because if that's the case, I'll take this weakness on. If you can use that weakness for your glory, if you would just give me a brief glimpse of that. And he has, many times over. And so, you know, for me, I'm thinner because I've lost some pride. But also, too, you know, you begin to look at your weaknesses and your insufficiencies in a different way of saying, you know, maybe God can use that. Because we often want him to use our good things and the things that we're so good at, which he does. But we often forget and think, but you don't want my weakness, Lord. You don't want my insufficiencies. You can't use those. But he can if we let him. He really can.
We have to stop talking, Dave. Sorry.
Well, I won't use the cane if
Thank
you give
you.
Us opportunity for some questions.
Yes. I like questions. They're fun.
All right.
We're okay.
You gave the... but we are going to have a video real quick
during service.
You'll get to see kind of how our church is set up. We sit in a circle.
We meet in a little community center. Rent out each week.
There's a situation there with Lucy, which is kind of a picture of us as missionaries. She tries to hug on some little kid that she doesn't know. And he says, he kind of lets her, but then he walks away and then she goes after him again. Three times, you know, it's kind of that what we have to do is that even if people are turning away, we still have to continue to pursue and be in their lives. But, okay, question time. There's other stuff in the video.
Questions, anybody?
How old are your kids? 12 is Bella.
Bella's 12, Gwenny is 10, and Lucy just turned 4 last week.
Yeah. And Lucy just became lactose intolerant after she had a sickness. So that's a new
She had some sickness
joy in our life.
Wiped out all the bacteria in her gut and she can't process anything now. So that's fine.
We're hoping it's temporary, but we're surprised at how much stuff milk is in. Milk is in so many things.
Yikes.
But
that's a whole other. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Back at Greenville College, I want to know how you got together.
How we got together.
You really want that story? I don't think you want that story.
It's not a beautiful story.
It's not a beautiful story. Let's see. We had the same major. So we knew each other, like we knew of each other in the same major.
Communication. Yeah.
We talk too much. See, obviously. Yeah. We over
communicate. Dave knew what he was getting when he brought
us. We over communicate, probably.
Oh, he's going for the cane. Okay.
Yeah, I know. So he was a year ahead of me, but so we knew of each other. I'm not telling the long story because it was awful and we hated each other for a while.
The quick story is
don't tell it.
As communication majors, we misunderstood some things. But there was a music festival that was benefiting kids.
You cannot tell the whole story. Do not tell it.
Okay.
It's ugly. You cannot tell it. Anyway, let's just say...
A
few months after the ugly story, I got sick. I was missing from class for a few days, and he sent me an email checking on me. And I was like, why is this guy checking on me? We don't talk. Like, why is he...
Like him, yeah.
I had hated him months earlier.
I cursed him
He ruined me in a project. That's
God
what I'm gonna
smite
say.
Him with...
You know,
some
and
kind
so
of
he was checking
something.
On me. I had pneumonia. I wasn't in class. And he said, are you okay? I was like, what are you checking on? I don't know you. What are you here? So I just wrote him back and I said, I'm fine. Thank you for checking, you know. So then he wrote me back and then we started talking and I didn't hate him anymore. You know, and honestly, here's what I'll tell you. We dated this. We don't
this
tell.
Is
we
being
try
recorded.
Not to
what
tell
if
our,
the girls. What are you doing with this recording?
We try not to tell our kids this.
I've got it recorded. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
but
no,
what are you
don't
doing
give this
with
to our children.
Though?
We dated
we
for...
We keep this secret from our kids.
Tell the secret.
Okay.
We dated for 2 months before we got engaged. I kid you not. We talked about getting married on our second date. It was just one of those things, you know? And so we got married. We were dated, engaged, and married in less than a year. Not something I would advise. However, for us, we literally always say... We would have maybe done it sooner.
I
didn't change anything.
I was planning
just,
with my roommate to go down to Nashville the week after graduation to do music stuff. And JC comes. We hung out together the night before graduation, stayed up really late, drove somewhere, I think.
We were sitting on the parking lot talking about future and how you were leaving.
At
and,
some point, she
know,
said, well, I'll
drama.
Go. I'll get something job in Nashville for the summer so I can be close by. You know, we can see each other. She said, but then after that, I don't know what's going to happen. She's like, I don't know what that means for us. And I said, okay, I'll get an apartment here in Greenville, and I will set up a life here until you graduate, and we'll get married. So then I went to my roommate and told him at 3 in the morning on Sunday of graduation.
It was the night before, yeah.
And I told him, hey, listen, man, here's what's going on. And he said, that's great. I don't know what took you so long.
Not really
surprised. I expected it, but. So he still went to Nashville and did music stuff, still is, but.
Okay. We spared you some details because it got a little ugly there for a while. I'm not going to lie.
Any other questions? Or I'll let Dave say any other questions,
no,
maybe.
Any other questions? Thank you so much.
Okay.
Yeah. And we have our, we can leave our,
we'll put, yeah, we'll put
our,
stuff out
our
here.
Our photo
after,
book up there. You're more than welcome to look at
and
it.
And then
you
we'll
would
be,
like.
Yeah.
Hey, why don't you pass the photo book around?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
There's missing some pictures, so there's names of people.
You
did. We forgot the picture somewhere.
You're welcome.